Hello, I'm Taylor Payne and welcome to another Pod on the Tyne match day. With three Champions League points secure in the back pocket, Eddie Howe's men return action today against Big Ange and a Forest side desperate to kickstart their season. Let's get straight into the action at St James's Park.
Savona to Gibbs-White. Gibbs-White down. Newcastle up and running. They found Bruno Guimarães. It's a beauty from Bruno. But Forrest will ask questions as to whether there was a foul in the build-up on Morgan Gibbs-White. And it is their number eight to take, Sandro Tonali. It's Valtamara back off the crossbar. Short to Jolinton. Hung in invitingly by Murphy. Sells with a brilliant save at point-blank range to keep Forrest in this. It's Milinkovic who prevails. Anderson, Guimarães coming into it. And Anderson caught out as Guimarães rides around. The referee points to the spot. Valtamara from the spot in front of the Gallagher. You don't save those. And there's no stopping the big man at the moment.
The time is 6:07 p.m. We are in our new post-match podcast spot, which we came to last match, or looking down at the Strawberry.
Chris, I'm going to have to interrupt you immediately. How are your trousers?
I was wondering how quickly in this podcast you're going to mention
I couldn't wait any longer than 6 seconds. I've been bursting.
So George,
I've been bursting to get into this, a bit like your trousers have been.
Yes, George has mentioned the fact that on my way into the ground, I slipped as I was walking up the stairs, and I've split my trousers around the crotch area. Thankfully, it's not eminently visible because it is underneath, but yeah, I have sat through an entire match, stood in the mix zone speaking to Bruno Guimarães, and then sat in an Eddie Howe press conference
with a slight draft. Yeah. Okay, and are you going to give us any context for the split? Trousers too tight, body too big?
I mean I am horizontally challenged, as we all know, so this is that contributes. But me falling over didn't help. I do have an issue with trousers, or I have very fat
you have an
thighs.
Issue with, with trousers and your fat thighs. Oh God, we are so back on Pod on the Tyne match day, and Chris Woff is so back, and Newcastle United are so back. Two wins in a row,
6 goals scored, 0 conceded in those 2 wins, Champions League and Premier League. So yeah, huge. Newcastle United have beaten Nottingham Forest 2-0. We will come on that in a second. We wanted to first of all thank anyone who's subscribed so far to Pod on the Tyne Extra Tyne, you know, that wonderful play on words that it is, and we've had, yeah, we've been quite taken aback by the support we've had so far, and there was the opening episode was George and special guest Luke Edwards out in Belgium, in Brussels, for Newcastle United winning 4-0 at Union Saint-Gilloise. So thanks to everyone who subscribed so far. If you would like to join and subscribe for either an extra podcast a week, or to take up the ad-free offer, you can go to podonthetyne.supportingcast.fm. It'll also be put into the show notes, because we've got an episode coming up this week as well, which is going to be 4 years since the takeover. So we're going to be having a show talking about that anniversary and where Newcastle are now.
And hearing from some of the main characters involved too, with the little bits of interview. So if you haven't already done so, please consider signing up. It makes a huge difference to us, helps our production costs, and will help expand the show moving forward. And I'd just like to give a brief shout out to Mark, who had a nice chat with in the Milburn stand. He subscribed, so thank you very much, Mark, and we look forward to bringing you more fashion faux pas and football chit chat moving forward.
Yes, hopefully there'll be less fashion faux pas, but anyway, so this match, we arrived, and I think all of us arriving in the sort of press room thought that there was a good chance that the team could be unchanged. How Eddie Howe has been rotating this season, but he still has, he likes to keep a team that has found a bit of rhythm going from match to match. He likes to keep the balance where he can, and because it was going into the international break, regardless of the fact a lot of internationals were going away, they were unchanged from Union Saint-Gilloise, their biggest ever victory in the Champions League. But alternatively, this had been Newcastle's worst ever start to a Premier League season under Eddie Howe, albeit in terms of a full season, albeit it's only his fourth. But going into this match, they'd only won one game in the Premier League. We knew goals were an issue. How did you feel when you sort of saw the team sheet? Did you think it was this is A, were you unsurprised, and B, did you think that was the right selection?
Yes, as you say, we've seen lots of changes of personnel, a lot of rotation. We've seen changes of of tactics, taking on different teams, different matches in different ways. The first thing it made come into my head was, oh, okay, does this mean that, you know, perhaps we found an answer here? Perhaps Eddie Howe has put the bits of the jigsaw together. It's very difficult to judge in the Champions League. We know that Union Saint-Gilloise are a very good team in Belgium, top of the league. They've beaten PSV in the Champions League too. But, you know, what are we judging it against? So to me, that suggested that the hope was that having kind of scored goals, having created more chances, having seen different bits of the team gel in ways that we'd perhaps not seen in other Premier League matches, that this was a thought that perhaps they found an answer.
Yes, and I mean, the team itself, as in the squad itself, you were at a press conference on Friday with Eddie Howe where he'd confirmed that Tino Livramento was out for 8 weeks, as we already thought, roughly that sort of time scale. Confirmed that Yohan Wissa is likely to be probably West Ham sometime in early November rather than hopefully immediately after national break with Brighton, so that's a blow in that sense. But he had suggested that Jacob Ramsey could be involved this weekend. At that point, Lewis Hall and his fitness, Howe talked about managing a couple of things, and we've just found out in the press conference after the game there that with Lewis Hall, he has suffered a hamstring problem. He has had a scan, but is going to be rescanned in 10 days. Howe gave the description that it's not a short-term injury, but they hope it isn't a long-term injury. So what on earth that means, not entirely sure. But on the
it leaves space for medium-term, I'd argue.
Yeah, fair point.
Thank you.
Whatever medium-term means. Yeah. But given the loss of Tino Livramento, that leaves Newcastle quite short at full-back. He used the phrase that he didn't have a rabbit to pull out of his hat when it comes to sort of fullback selections. He name-checked Alex Murphy as someone who's in and around there. They've also got Harrison Ashby, who's in and around there, but has never played for Newcastle's first team squad. I mean, they are suddenly looking short there, and that means that Dan Byrne, having played the last three games at left-back, probably is going to continue there.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks that way. I mean, I think at this point, I'm sure you've got this written down on your in diligent notes for this podcast, but this does bring me on to the fact that I think we should, at this point, pay tribute to the Newcastle's defence. So that was their sixth clean sheet in 10 matches in all competitions. And if you look at what they've had to go through, you look at the team that started the season, you look at the fact that Fabien Schär, Dan Byrne start at centre-half, do brilliantly, do excellently. You're like, is Sven Botman ever going to get a game, you know, at centre-half again? After being linked away in the summer, Malik Chow, when's he going to play? I mean, so through no fault of their own, Schär has come out of the team through concussion. Dan Byrne has been asked to move to left back. We've seen Chow come in, Botman come in. They look like they play together forever. I mean, they've been phenomenal, absolutely brilliant. Livramento, excellent at left back, filling in for Hall at the start of the season. We know how good Hall is in. The fact they've had to make all these changes, the fact that they've coped so well and kept clean sheets and defended with such rigour and with such, I mean, they don't look threatened. I mean, it's, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. I've sort of said in some of the stuff I've written, they've been half a good team this season. There's been no concerns at that end of the pitch, really. So really just wanted to kind of pay tribute, as well as acknowledging all the things that you're talking about. I mean, at the minute they must have such confidence, because they're sort of, I think Bruno Guimarães said to you afterwards, if we're keeping a clean sheet, we feel like we're on the way to winning a game.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say this towards the end of the podcast, but since you've brought it up, Bruno also talked about the centre-backs in Chow and Botman, and he said they are the future of this club.
Yeah,
and that's the way that it feels. And Eddie Howe afterwards was asked about Botman and the injuries that he's had, and he talked about being really down when Botman was injured, because he knew how big a player they'd lost, and that it's taken a long time for Botman to get back to this stage. But those two, yes, they have looked wonderful. And as you say, shifting around, I mean, today, let's just fast forward a little bit, there were a couple of concerns first half, getting in behind Dan Byrne at left back, as there was in Belgium in midweek, but Newcastle found a way to cope and get round it. And Dan, that's not him go down. Dan Byrne isn't the quickest player in the world. We know that's maybe where some of his limitations will be if he's playing at left back, but he was phenomenal when he was at centre half. He's moved to left back and he still is contributing in that position. But I mean, let's revert to the start of the game. So it was quite a quiet start to the match first 11, it took 11 minutes for there to be a shot.
That's
in
a kind way of putting it. Yeah, it was like, it's funny, it's like in those moments as a journalist, you think, you know, this blank laptop page in front of me, what on earth are you going to fill it with? I mean, it was very quiet. It didn't feel actually like there was momentum from the other night. It was like, oh no, they're scratching around again. To be fair, I thought Forrest, you know, Forrest dealt with it pretty well. It was a far more pragmatic lineup from Ange Postecoglou, I thought, and I think it was, you know, it was sent out with that aim of keeping things quiet, you know, restricting Newcastle as far as possible. And I thought they did pretty well. They collapsed, obviously, as the game went on, I think, or they proved it to be brittle, their confidence to be brittle, which is absolutely understandable. But I thought they did pretty well, and it was, yeah, it was actually a bit of a nervy first half, and there wasn't a lot going on.
No, so the first shot came from Joe Linton, which was from a sort of corner routine, Trippier to Botman. Botman headed it back across, and Joe Linton. It was actually a good save.
I love the fact that you're doing the movements, because we're standing up, you're actually doing the movements as you described
them. Well, you know, it just helps, doesn't it? You know, to be, yeah. You've got to be visual at the same time.
Sure. Visual on an audio podcast, that's really good.
What I said to you in the first half, and actually when we talk about me chatting to Bruno Guimaraes after the game, he almost had the opposite viewpoint on the first half, in terms of he was saying Newcastle didn't get the ball wide enough and into the box enough. I actually thought the opposite. My view, and this is, I imagine that Bruno Guimaraes knows far more about football than me.
Well, I mean, you don't need to imagine that. I mean, that's just a fact.
It's a fact.
That's just a fact.
It is a fact. Captain of Newcastle's team plays for Brazil nationally, probably.
Yeah.
I play a seven aside and a Monday badly.
Yeah.
But the reason that I say that was, in the first half, Forrest were playing with a back three massive centre backs. And Newcastle trying to get the ball wide and then cross it in the box, albeit the crosses tended to be poor. I think they only completed 18% of their crosses in the first half. But they tried to get they were trying to do that, and it was almost like meat and drink for those Forest centre backs. Let's just head the ball clear. And the few times when Anthony Gordon cut in off the left wing, sort of trying to play a few 1-2s, trying to overload through the middle, the few times they actually got Voltimore on the ball, I thought Newcastle looked more dangerous there. I thought that unsettled Forest a bit more than going wide. I mean, it just didn't seem like whenever Newcastle were crossing the ball in the box that they were going to score. Do you think that's a fair...
I totally agree. I think we talked about this a bit. I mean, I think it was easy for those centre-halves. Obviously, you know, if you're playing with that system, you've kind of got one centre-forward, if that's what we're going to call Walter Marder, and I thought it was easy for the centre-halves. And I thought there were times where he was knocked off the ball, you know, and you think...
Yeah, Milenkovic seemed to like that physically.
Yeah, yeah, that you know, that this is a bit too sort of easy for them, and that he isn't robust enough. Actually, I thought as the game went on, He seemed to get stronger. That was something that Howe talked about, saying that he seemed to kind of becoming more robust as the game goes on. Now, I'm sure that was partially to do with confidence. I'm sure it's also partially to do with the fact that Forrest were then having to chase the game and play differently. But it was sort of too pedestrian in the first half. Yeah, it was too easy for Forrest. This will still be a problem with Walter Marder, for all the fact that he scored a penalty brilliantly and did have a couple of shots. They're not getting him into the box enough. If he is their only forward on the pitch, then they have to find a way of getting him into dangerous areas. He does great work.
He has to get himself into dangerous areas.
I'm sorry, yes, absolutely.
It's a bit of both.
And they have to play to his strength.
And I mean, before going on the couple of chances Newcastle had, Forrest didn't really offer too much going forward in that first half, other than Elliot Anderson. I think that you found it particularly galling.
You know, just hearing Forrest fans singing Jordi Maradona, I'm sure, you know, knowing exactly what they're doing. But yeah, I thought there were moments in the first half he looked excellent, got on the ball, dribbled forward, won a free kick just outside the Newcastle box at one point. And yeah, he and Gibbs White sort of produced some moments of danger. I didn't think they looked like they were bereft of confidence at that moment. Yeah, I mean, you know, just it didn't turn out to be a brilliant afternoon for Elliot Anderson, for obvious reasons. But yeah, pangs watching him do that.
Yeah, very much so. And you can see the player he's grown into as well, where he looks leaner, he looks more like a man, as we've talked about on the podcast in midweek, that sort of going, it maybe needed to leave to grow in some ways, but it still is painful. I mean, yeah, I mean, Newcastle's first half chances, Matt Sells put in a couple of good saves. Joe Linton had three of the first half chances, but I don't think necessarily helped, including one really weird one where he actually won the ball in midfield when Anderson tried to play it back through to Gibbs White. Then he just decided, I don't know if it was almost like shoot on sight at that point for Newcastle to get their stats up, given how poor the stats had been, but he was only about 5-10 yards inside the Forest half, and he tried to lob Matt Sells, but didn't really get the ball off the floor, and it sort of went wide, and it was a weird, it almost summed up, I think, that first half, that Newcastle almost lacked ideas as to what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it just wasn't flowing for them. It wasn't kind of fluid. You know, have to put it into context. They're still getting to grips with, you know, with a new way of playing, with new forwards. This was their first, you know, first home game with that front line, and it's going to take time. And but you know, half time is only halfway through the game, and it's you know, they got better as the afternoon went on, which is all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw a few stats away just so we can show how much better they did as the game went on. So at half time, Newcastle's XG was 0.55. They'd only had two shots on target. Voldemort had 14 touches, only one in the opposition box. 11 passes and completed them all, but I think that also shows where a lot of those passes were, which I think were deep. But then, so I mean, after the break, I thought Newcastle improved almost immediately. It wasn't that they necessarily always looked like they were going to score, but I mean, Voldemort had a big chance when Gordon crosses in from the left, and Morato, he doesn't seem to realise that there isn't really anyone actually that close to him, and in trying to clear it just in front of Matt Sells, he kicks the ball immediately to Voldemort, who shoots, and then Morato actually recovers and blocks it from sort of being goal bound. So Newcastle had a few moments at that point, but even so, it did feel like they were going to need a moment of inspiration to get that goal.
Totally, and they got one. And you're the man to describe it.
Yeah, well, I think there was a bit of needle in this game, or at least, I mean, Joe Linton had gone through Anderson a couple of times in the first half. Yates, you know what you're going to get from him in the same sort of way that Joe Linton. He's like that.
By the way, I love Ryan Yates. I love that kind of player. I know that we're not supposed to kind of love him really, but just that sort of, you know, that the niggle, the constant fouling, dirty. I like that player. I like that player.
Joe Linton on the opposite side.
It is, yes, of course.
So you had one on each team, and so, but they'd also been sort of been pushing and shoving in the box at corners and the like. So that'd been a little bit of it, and basically what happens for the first goal is that the ball is sort of cleared to Morgan Gibbs-White facing towards his own goal midway inside his own half, and Bruno Guimaraes runs towards him. I think he gets a flick on the ball, whether he catches Gibbs-White at the same time, whether he gets the ball and then catches Gibbs-White. We haven't seen that many replays to see it. But sort of Dan Burns comes the other way and immediately picks the ball up. Gibbs-White wants a foul. Postecoglou wants a foul. Forrest are adamant it's a foul. But Bruno immediately turns around and advances towards goal. Byrne carries the ball, passes inside to Bruno Guimaraes, who about 22 yards out just whips an absolutely wonderful shot above Matt Sells, dips below him and goes in the net, and it just felt like that was the sort of moment that they needed.
Gorgeous, yeah. It didn't feel like it was coming sort of any other way, and again, that's a concern. They're not, you know, by the end of the match, they've had a lot of shots, and they've had far more shots on targets than they have in any previous match this season, and way outperformed their averages, which is really, really important. So, you know, those stats tell you that they are creating chances now. It didn't feel like it at the time. It didn't feel like those chances were sort of big chances, apart from Voltimada's. So, yeah, they needed that moment from their captain. It was a brilliant moment. It was a beautiful moment, and it unlocked the game for them.
If anyone had seen his celebration, which was a bit odd at the time, I don't know if you saw Georgie, he sort of sat and it looked like, was he like sowing seeds? Was he sowing your trousers? Well, that would have been helpful if he had done. But what it turned out is that you're saying that he was dealing cards because he's been good at cards. I think he was talking about within the dressing room recently that they've been playing a lot of games of cards, and so that he'd won a game of cards recently. So it was a bit
interesting.
Because it looked a bit odd when he was doing it. It could have meant quite a few things.
If only I could think of a witty pun.
Yes.
But I can't.
Well, thank you. So that's Bruno's 23rd Premier League goal for Newcastle. There are only two centre midfielders who've scored more for the club. Both legends, Rob Lee and Gary Speed, so I think that puts him, or if he wasn't already in sort of going towards legendary status, he's certainly among it. You mentioned that I spoke to Bruno earlier on. I mean, let's hear a little bit of that and him discussing why he thinks that maybe the balance between attack and defence is starting to improve.
Like I said, the first half, I think we were not in our best. I think they block us as well. We want to play very short, and I think it was not this type of the game. We should put the ball in the boxes. Is what we try to do more in the second half, and I think the things working after this. But football sometimes 1-0 is enough, you know. So we knew who would score the first goal today would probably win the game. So we were lucky to score the first one and the second to finish the game.
Because, I mean, defensively, you've been very, very strong this season. It just feels like you haven't necessarily had the balance between attack and defence, but you were still strong defensively this week and also scored goals. You think you're finding that balance now?
Exactly. I think the Premier League most important is not concede. If we don't concede, we are close to win the game. We have seen the players we have in attack, fast players, quality players, players that in one chance can score. I think Nick has been amazing for us, scoring not just scoring goals, but in the build up, the way he dropped as a number 10 to play. It's not so common a player that tall to be that good with his feet. So I'm pleased to have with him, with the team, and I think we deserve to win today.
But then, I mean, once Newcastle scored, the game changed, in my opinion, and Forrest came out more. I've just had a thought there, I said in terms of a lot, I'm trying not to, but
Cheers, Dan.
Cheers, Dan. But Forrest seemed to come out because they obviously had to try and get a goal. And then the space started to open up. And I also thought that Newcastle seemed to visibly grow in confidence. And actually, they ended up having quite a few chances. There was a Voldemort one where he lashes off the bar when Malik Chow heads down a corner from Tonali. And then, yeah, Voldemort hits it immediately off the bar. He looked very angry with himself that he hadn't scored. There was also Malik Chow had a chance himself from a Jacob Murphy whipped cross into the box. Chow shot first time and it was saved by Sells. Same passage of play. Jacob Murphy came on and made quite a big impact, played a lovely ball into Harvey Barnes. Another substitute came on. He was one-on-one with Sells. Sells rushed out and saved it. And so it felt like Newcastle started again something there that once the game opened up, that suited them. But also players playing with a bit more confidence. It just they'd had that patience to get to the point where they scored and then the game opened up a bit more.
Yeah, but I think the second goal also came along at the right time. I think they needed it then. You know, it was that feeling of, you know, if you don't get that second goal, you don't take your chances. Does that allow edginess to kind of come back into the match? Obviously, the match is coming towards the end at that point, but the second goal was important too. I think the sort of timing of both goals ends up being important for Newcastle. And on this occasion, nobody but nobody was going to get the ball off Nick Voldemada.
No, so you mentioned that the afternoon didn't go quite as well for Elliot Anderson as he'd wanted on his return in the end, because he does foul Bruno Guimaraes from behind, just inside the box on the left-hand side. And yes, Nick Voldemada goes up and just stands with the ball for quite
a while. It was hilarious, you know, sort of like in the past, you know, Newcastle have tried to play games when a penalty has been awarded. Trippier's taken the ball and stood on the penalty spot with a smirk on his face and then handed it over to someone, usually Alexander Isak in the past. You know, the context for this was midweek in the Champions League. Newcastle get two penalties and Voldemada wanted to take them. He is not the designated penalty taker. That's Anthony Gordon, and he just looked absolutely desolate and, you know, desperate to take the penalty. Gordon took them both, scored both. This time, Gordon had been substituted and Voldemada gets the ball, keeps the ball, holds the ball. It's like clutched close to his chest like a baby. He's not going to let go until he kicks it, and then, Jesus Christ, he lets go. I mean, an astonishing penalty.
It's how nonchalant it was in some ways as well. Like, by nonchalant, I don't mean that you get sort of... If you've had Ivan Toney, the way that he sort of takes a penalty and it sort of looks... There was a strange
combination of a... You know, it was like... It's almost like a hobbling run-up. It's that sort of stuttery run-up, but his feet weren't kind of in that quick movement. It was actually quite slow, but he did that stuttery kind of run-up. You think, oh, God, he's going to do a Panenka or, you know, lift it up and it's going to be held. And he somehow manages to do that hobbly run-up. He then lifts his right leg back. It's like a golf club. And there's a proper backswing. It goes all the way back. And then he hits it with unbelievable power. And it goes top left corner. It's absolutely unstoppable. I mean, thank God the net got in the way, because if it hadn't, it would have taken someone's head off. I mean, it was an astonishing hit. And again, speaks of his character, speaks of his confidence. You know, yes, okay, he's not getting lots of chances, but he wants to score goals. He wants the responsibility. We're seeing this on a game-by-game basis. they're all having to get used to him. He's having to get used to them, but he wants to be on the pitch. He wants the ball. He wants it at his feet. He wants to score goals. He, you know, and that, as I say, that desperation in midweek to take a penalty, which he wasn't able to do it, and now the desperation to take one. You know, just really good to see. And, you know, they're going to need him because, as you said, Wisser's going to be out for a bit longer. They don't have enough options there. But, yeah, just really good to see. And, yeah, you could see the confidence climbing in him.
So his first goal at the Gallagher end, but his third in three starts at St James's Park in the Premier League for Newcastle. He matches the feats of Alan Shearer in 96 and Les Ferdinand in 95 to be the third Newcastle player to score in those consecutive matches. He also has four in five starts for Newcastle across all competitions, having scored in the Champions League. And I just think, yeah, he just looks like someone who is really enjoying his football. I mean, even if I still think there are integration issues in terms of finding... I just use that phrase. There are integration issues when it comes to bringing him into the game and making sure he is involved as much. But that he is getting confidence from these goals, and he looks like someone who has that self-belief and looks like he really is enjoying being here.
Yeah, and you know, I do think it's important that Newcastle find a way. That was something that that I've written about with The Athletic, and it's something that I asked Eddie Howe afterwards. I sort of tried to frame it in a way, do you feel like you've unlocked the team? Have you found a way forward? And you know, he was fairly non-committal in what he said, but this is what he said. And he also talked about the mood in the dressing room.
I'm always reluctant to say yes. I think we're hopefully on our way to improving that side of our game. There's more to come. I like the balance of the team today, and I like the balance of the team on Wednesday. That's why I decided to stick with the team again. And I thought there's a little bit of fatigue in our performance. Don't think we look physically as good as we can, but I think that's understandable. There's a mental load, there's a physical load that we gave in midweek, there's a travelling, there's, you know, all sorts of things. But the group are always so professional and so hungry to win. I think that got us over the line in the end.
There's still been kind of questions about what you've got in the dressing room. I mean, this time a year ago, things were very difficult for different reasons. What you've got at the moment is pretty special.
Yeah, I think with the group of players we have, it's very special. And I think they've done so well for me for a consistent period of time. They've done well, so well for the club. I think they've represented the club really well in all sorts of different ways. But nothing stays the same. You always have to prove yourself again and again and again. That's the beauty of football. It's the beauty of a new season starting. And we're well aware of that, that what happened last year is now history. And now we have to try and create more history and new history. And we're determined to try and do that if we can. We'll give it our best shot. Today was a big step forward in just in returning our confidence levels to where they were from last year.
So by the end of the game, Newcastle's XG was 3.28. They had 18 shots, 9 of them on target, 33 touches in the opposition box. Their averages per 90 leading into this in the Premier League had been 0.87 XG, 10.3 shots, 2.7 shots on target and 22 touches in the opposition box. So that shows you that really Newcastle had clicked into some sort of gear in the second half. Voldemort said afterwards about you could feel the goals coming in the second half, is how he said in terms of the way that they were playing. I've done it again. How they were playing. And Howe talked about them being more dynamic and needing to move the ball in the second half and sort of showing that patience. So the clean sheets that were mentioned, so to you say it's 6 clean sheets in 10 in all competitions, 5 in 7 in the Premier League. Since the start of the 2022-23 season, which was Eddie Howe's first full season in charge, Newcastle have won more Premier League home games to nil, 24, than any other side in the Premier League. And each of the last 5 league wins at home have been with a clean sheet. Now that gives you the basis, as we mentioned earlier, the Bruno Guimaraes, that gives you the platform. And it's not quite working yet in attack fully, even today. Even on Wednesday, I'd argue there's still things to work on. But they have that really strong platform from which they're building.
Yeah, and, you know, it's about belief. It's about confidence. It's about momentum. It's about them thinking that they're doing the right things, going on the pitch, doing it and getting rewarded for it. And I think that's why, you know, people at the club... How was asked just about the win itself afterwards, and he said, it's a huge win, huge, huge win. And albeit, you know, those are pretty basic words and pretty basic emotion, that's something that people behind the scenes are saying, that the timing of it, coming after the Champions League win, putting two wins together, Newcastle have been really, really good in the past at putting consecutive wins together. good runs of form together, good runs of results together, and they hope that they have the basis to do that now. And so it does feel like, you know, he talked about it potentially being a turning point for them. And, you know, it's about finding a way, believing that they can do it, and then going out and doing it. And so I think that's a big moment.
So they're now up to 11th, level on points with 10th placed Everton on 9, 5 behind 4th place Bournemouth, 4 behind 5th place Manchester City, although that was on the basis that the Man City were winning 1-0 against Brentford and we left. So, excellent result for Newcastle men. For Newcastle women, they were away at Crystal Palace today, kicking off at the same time. And it looked bleak when they were 2-0 down after 86 minutes. Goals from Kirsty Howard and Molly Mae Sharp. But Becky Langley made a raft of changes, and there were goals from summer signings Una Savinius in the 87th minute, and then Morgan Gautrout, the World Cup winner, in the 8th minute of added time, rescued a point. Now, Gautrout actually set up the first with a cross too, so this is on the basis of, I've read this online, because obviously we weren't there, but Emily Murphy dummied to allow Savinius to score, and then Gautrout's equaliser apparently came directly from a corner, went through loads of bodies, and then caught the keeper off guard, and then Gautrout almost won it as well, with the keeper making a big save. Newcastle had 20 shots to Palace's 13. Both teams had 5 on target. Have to be more clinical. But really, for them to be 2-0 down and staring another defeat in the face, to have rescued a point from that, it feels, at least having not seen the game itself and having not really seen them in action yet this season, you're hoping to see them next weekend, that feels like hopefully it could be a bit of a momentum shifter in terms
You'd
of
hope
a big,
so.
Big point.
Yeah, they'll be feeling in the dressing room that like they've got a win. You know, the one thing you'd say about this team is that it has incredible spirit, great personality. That's something they talk about a lot. They don't know when they're beaten, and you know, that's a great quality to have. So yeah, I mean, they need to start picking up wins. It's Bristol City at home next Sunday at Gateshead. I'll be there for that, really looking forward to seeing it, and hopefully I'll be a lucky charm.
So that leaves Newcastle women 8th with 5 points in 5 games, 8 behind league leaders Charlton Athletic already, 5 behind Birmingham City in the second automatic qualifying spot, and 4 behind 3rd place Nottingham Forest. So they do need to start picking up those wins, as you say. But let's sign off then here from St James's Park. I will go and find, I mean, do they have like Sunday night tailors?
Seamstresses
who could probably help me
not.
Out. No, it's probably
no,
not
probably. I'm sorry about your fat thighs. I didn't realise it was actually a medical condition.
Well, I don't know if it's a condition as such, but when I used to play rugby, one of my rugby coaches once described me as running along with 2 baby seals on my legs. So that was his description of my
right.
thighs.
What a horrible image.
Yeah, horrible image. Yeah. I mean, I do have very fat thighs relative to body size. So,
what a horrible image.
But yes, anyway, we shall leave it with, rather than that horrible image, let's leave you with the memory that Newcastle have won 2-0 against Nottingham Forest, back-to-back victories in all competitions, and sign off for the international break in positive style.
So there we go, 3 points in the bag, a Bruno special, and a healthy dose of Big Nick energy. Thank you for joining us for this Matchday podcast, and thank you to everyone who has joined our new subscription service via our partners at Supporting Cast. We've been absolutely blown away by the support we've received in the 3 days since we launched. We can't wait to bring you more exciting content via Pod on the Tyne, Extra Tyne, including Q&As, special guests, and additional European Matchday shows. Just £3 a month to listen ad-free, £5 a month for extra shows and subscriber-exclusive perks. For more info, to sign up, go to podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm. Thanks again for listening, and from everybody at Pod on the Tyne, take care. Goodbye.